sit in meditation, then radiate loving kindness, wishing may we be happy, may all beings be happy, free from enmity toward one another, not holding grudges, and free from harm towards each other. We can see that when we have anger and we sit in meditation, then the mind is difficult to calm. It is filled with mental formations of ill will, unwilling to forgive. Therefore, the kind of giving that is more difficult than all the forms of material giving is the gift of forgiveness. This is the giving where we let go of resentment, grudges, and do not seek revenge. Because when there is anger and ill will, it is very dangerous. If mindfulness cannot control it, strong ill will can create heavy karma. Thus, the gift of forgiveness is higher than the giving of material things. When we make merit by giving food and water, it is called giving physical support, which leads to good complexion and well-being in this world. In giving forgiveness, wisdom is required, seeing that the actions that cause our anger and hatred arise from delusion, from ignorance. It is not that the mind truly wants to be that way, for there is no mind that does not want happiness. Every mind seeks happiness and does not want suffering, but the defilements and the sense of self doesn't allow it. There is a me and mine, and when someone hurts our feelings, we cannot forgive, and so we continue to hold on to resentment endlessly. Whether monks live together in large or small numbers, sometimes there are conflicts, because their views and opinions are not the same. It is not that once ordained, all defilements are gone. The anger, greed, and delusion disappear. It's not like that, but rather, seeing the danger in samsara, the continual cycle of birth and death, they come to train themselves. But when greed, anger, and delusion are strong, some monks cannot endure it, and so they give up. For some, they continue to struggle. They maintain precepts. Though angry, they keep the precepts. Though dissatisfied, they rely on precepts to restrain their actions and speech. But sometimes even behavior cannot be controlled. Through the eyes, just looking at them, they may already get the urge to harm one another. The fire of anger is powerful. However, when we have samadhi, concentration, it will fight against the anger. The anger cannot overcome our mind, yet we also cannot fully overcome anger. It is being restrained. For one day, 2 days, 3 days, it can be held in check. The stronger the concentration, the stronger the anger, yet the anger is able to be restrained. But then, one day, upon contemplation, one sees that the body is empty. The body has emptiness. Who is there to be angry at? There's no one left. There is no us. There is no them. The anger itself is just defilement. There is no self, no I. It is empty. One may see the Dhamma, attain to the Dhamma here. But at first, one must train. Seeing the anger and ill will in its full strength, which is in everyone. So both monks and lay people must practice. Eventually the mind becomes cooler and calmer. Through the mind that spreads loving kindness, and from a concentrated mind, then it becomes peaceful and cooled. If there is still ill will, one cannot enter concentration. But when the mind has rapture, it can suppress ill will. These are opposites, this rapture. If the mind has happiness and strong concentration, it can suppress sensual desire. If the mind is well stilled, it can suppress delusion. Therefore, concentration is a central foundation. It is very important and must be trained in. When one has the power of concentration and mindfulness improves, one can then fight against greed, anger, and delusion. Therefore, on the day of the end of the rains retreat for the monastic community, there is a special occasion where monks perform the Bawarana ceremony, opening the opportunity for other monks to admonish and advise us. Because there may have been many things that we have gone through during the rains retreat. We may have been angry with one another, dissatisfied with various matters. So we forgive each other. We will not continue to be angry or hold grudges against them. We must truly be determined in this. For what purpose? So that we can live together in harmony, united in concord. Because the monastic community comes from different families, different places, both within the country and abroad. Sometimes they do not understand one another. Like Venerable Ajahn Chah gave an example, when Western monks and Thai monks live together, Thai monks may have shoulder bags that contain sacred amulets they deeply respect. A Western monk may walk over the bag or even touch the head of that Thai monk, and Thai monks hold both the head and the sacred objects as highly significant, so they become angry. It is due to misunderstanding. Western monks do not have such sacred objects. They don't hold on to those things. They also don't regard the head in that way, not attaching much importance to it, but instead giving importance to relating to one another with kindness. Living together like this can lead to friction, incompatibility, and misunderstanding, creating much disturbance. But on the day of the end of the rains retreat, through the Bawarana, it is agreed that whatever has happened over the 3 months ends here, and we will not continue being angry or having ill will to them. We can apply this in our daily lives, within the household, in families, between husband and wife, parents and children. There must always be forgiveness, even when there are misunderstandings. Sometimes the husband may get to know another woman, perhaps just talking or keeping in contact with them. Nowadays, communication is very accessible. The wife trusts her husband, even sending him abroad to ordain temporarily all the way to India. Then the husband meets another woman, and when the wife finds out later, she becomes immediately angry and upset. Problems arise within the family. But the man says there's nothing at all, just normal conversation, nothing serious, saying you're overthinking it. The wife does not believe him, and arguments begin. The wife then says, then I will do the same. She will talk to other men. Can you accept that? So I asked the husband, and he said he couldn't accept it. Well, then you shouldn't do it. If something you do and it makes your partner unhappy, then you should not do it. As for the anger that has already arisen, let it pass. Don't hold on to resentment. You have children together. You're older now and have lived together for over 20 years. So there should be honesty and sincerity to each other. That is having moral conduct. So then they adjust themselves to come to a mutual understanding. This is just one example to share. There are surely many other situations in family life where problems arise in various ways. This is something normal. So I speak in a way to help ease things a bit, saying, It's something normal. If nothing ever happened, then life would not have much flavor. Because family life must have some clashes and friction, like in the kitchen. It's not smooth. There is cooking various dishes, soup, curry, hot food, spicy dishes, and so on. So we must endure and forgive one another. On the husband's side, he has a male friend who has not yet married, and the husband says to him, "Well, you're lucky you didn't get married." Now he says this, implying that not marrying is good, but at that time he thought marriage would be good. In any case, we must forgive each other. Living together is for the continued development of the mind. If there is no forgiveness, it is difficult to live together in this world, because no one will always say things that please us. We should reflect that even this body we live in is not always in harmony. It constantly deteriorates and changes. It is impermanent. We cannot truly wish it to always be strong, free from illness, because freedom from illness is considered the highest gain. We have heard this teaching and may wonder, how can that be? Usually thinking that material gain is what is best. But when wisdom arises, we see that the Buddha's teachings of freedom from illness is the highest gain is truly correct. So now we should contemplate that this body, which we live with, is not under our control. We cannot command it or make it to be as we wish. So in our daily lives, we should love one another, have compassion towards each other, speak kindly, share what we have, and through body, speech, and mind, to not quarrel or argue. The society we live in, our families, will then be happy, and the monastic community will also be happy through harmony. If there is no harmony, and there is division, then even lay supporters will not be able to offer katina robes. So this is an important principle. Meditation is the practice of training our mind to be stable and firm, to cultivate loving kindness, to let go of all attachments and clinging. Take the Buddha as an example. When he was criticized or insulted, he remained still, patient, and had loving kindness. The Buddha had wisdom and did not react in return. Sometimes it is said that when someone is angry and we respond with anger, then we are no good. Because we already see the harm of anger, so why respond with anger? Whoever is angry is like setting fire to themselves. Speaking with anger is like burning oneself. It is necessary to forgive one another and not be angry to them. So all of you should train yourselves, this mind of yours, to have good mindfulness and concentration to deal with emotions. Like, we may have worked for 60 years and retired, but we still must continue practicing. Do the defilements ever retire? If defilements could retire, that would be great. Alright, I'll stay in your mind for only 60 years. That's enough. After that, I will no longer remain. I resign. That's the end of it. Our mind would be very happy. We wouldn't need to do anything, because the defilements have retired. But in reality, defilements do not retire. The more we support them, the more they increase. When we die in this life, they carry us on to the next life, leading us to be reborn again. It brings suffering to the mind again, taking us to be born again. If we are born in a good place, then it's good. If we're born in a bad place, there's only suffering. It's quite frightening. Therefore, we must train the mind. Train it so that it does not fall into suffering. Make the mind peaceful, develop wisdom, and see that there is no self, nothing that belongs to us, eventually we will see the Dhamma. There is truly nothing there. What we are attached to is due to ignorance, misunderstanding, and wrong perception that there really is a self, an I. When we retire, we do not become anything anymore. The positions and status we once held were all conventional. After retirement, they are gone. They were only temporary. But the sense of self still remains. So we must continue to struggle with defilements. Because the defilements have not retired, they continue to bring us suffering. So we must keep practicing and confronting them. Only when defilements are truly destroyed can they retire, and that is through the Dhamma. With the Dhamma, defilements will retire on their own. Otherwise, they will never retire. So we must be determined in our Dhamma practice. May you grow in blessings.